are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
That's it. The intro song that you know, that you love to hear, because you know that another episode of the God Geeks is at hand. Mm. Yes, where theology is reality and Jesus Christ is Lord, and we don't mean Lord Vader.
Lord Vader, yeah.
Now, we got an interesting show, super interesting show.
Yeah, great show.
Great controversial theological topic.
Yeah.
Great controversial geeky talk it,
yeah.
topic.
Yeah, topic.
I can't talk it. Topic. I can't talk. Easy for me to say. Anyway, we got to get going like here, because James just said something to me. He said I got to get going because he's. What'd you say?
I have to return some things at the mall for my wife.
And he doesn't believe me. My comment was that sounds so fake. Like I
have to go. I gotta wash
go.
My hair.
I gotta go because I gotta return some stuff at the mall. That just sounds so made up.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
does.
Anytime I avoid
who
the mall.
Goes to the mall anymore?
Yeah, I don't go. I stay as far
well,
away from the mall.
These are online purchases. I'm returning to the mall.
No, that's totally made up then. No one does that. Who does that?
Apparently my wife.
And your wife does that. Okay. Well, the good news is she's not a listener, so
no,
she has no
not.
Idea that
she thinks
we're talking
too dorky.
About her. That's right. Well, we are. Yep. And that's it. We're the geeks. We're the God Geeks, and we're at godgeeks.com, and you can send us a message, send us a topic, send us a question.
We love the questions.
And we love that stuff, and we're going to get right into it in an episode that we call... Jedi mind tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It is Jedi mind tricks, section of the show, the podcast where we get into theological things, we get into stranger theological things, if you will. We get into to different doctrines, different stuff we've been wrestling with, different stuff that you, the listeners, have been wrestling with and sending us comments and questions on, which you can do on the website, godgeeks.com. This week we thought what we would talk about is an often misperceived...
Mm-hmm.
reality of Christian life,
mm-hmm.
Good works.
Yeah.
You know, how do they come about? Like, what are they? You know, what are we actually, you know, capable of? What can we do in this new Christian life? And I find that this is one of the things, one of the several things that when you begin to actually understand what it is that good theology that the scriptures really have a posture about,
mm-hmm.
and you understand that it's really freeing. It's like a super set you free reality of Christianity that I actually think is up there with people not distinguishing between law and gospel. Not, you know, like a lot
this is
of
a good thing to talk about after our last couple episodes.
I think so.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, James, when it comes to good works, your understanding of what they are and what, you know, do you have questions? You have comments?
Got questions, but I think growing up, 80s and 90s, confusing time for, I think, a young Christian. Some of the things we talked about in the last episode, you know, do's and don'ts of a Christian, that kind of thing. And I think as a child, I had a pretty good understanding of the gospel and how freeing it was. And then I hit puberty at the exact same time as WWJD bracelets coming out.
Okay.
Oh, man. Confusing time.
Right.
Very confusing time. Was told a lot of times, you know, what would Jesus do? You got to go do that, too. Do. Which, that'd be awesome if I could be him.
Yeah.
and tried yeah. really, really hard and yeah. failed really, really hard all through high school and keep failing, of course. But at that time, it was crushing, absolutely crushing that I couldn't be perfect like Jesus because, you know, what would he do in the situation I'm in? Well, lots of things that I just can't do. And so good works came into that a lot. It was always... There was a lot of pressure in the circles I was in to
be more Christian,
serve more, be more Christian.
Yeah, walk the walk.
Be a quote, yeah. better Christian.
Yeah. Well, you know that it's interesting because this is not I've actually heard this quite a bit from Lutherans with the sort of bagging on the what would Jesus do.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to bag on it per se.
I think it's worth bagging on.
Yeah, a little bit.
but what they say is, you know, the emphasis is on what would Jesus do, and then they say, well, instead of what has Jesus done, right?
Sure, yeah.
Which I think
I've heard it flipped like that before.
Which I think is good, but what might be better?
What is Jesus doing?
What is he doing?
Yeah.
Because he's not dead.
No.
He's alive.
He's alive, and he's doing things in me, through me, despite me.
Yeah, right.
Which you say a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
The idea that, you know, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
right? You know, Jesus, by his living word and his living spirit in you, is doing things in you.
Mm-hmm.
To you,
mm-hmm.
for you,
yeah,
right, and then through you, which is the good works part that we talk about.
Exactly.
But what we often miss when we talk about good works is the reality that he's doing good despite you,
mm-hmm.
right? He doesn't quote unquote need you,
yeah,
because he's God.
He doesn't need anyone.
Yeah, reminds me a little, he doesn't need anything.
The story of Jonah in that lens was kind of a framing moment for me, seeing that in a new logic, where he didn't need Jonah.
No.
But
he chose to use
and Jonah. Despite Jonah.
Right.
At every turn.
Right, right.
Which I love. The gospel of
Christ
was,
example.
Was in that,
that's a great
in
example.
That story throughout.
Yeah, well, and so it's interesting because I've kind of used this. I got kind of a funny illustration or story that I think helps us sort of understand this. At least I find it funny because I'm the butt of the joke. But my grandfather, my grandpa Brimer, I mean, I just adored him. I loved him as a kid, you know, and looked up to him and wanted to be like him, you know,
yeah.
wanted to fish like he fished, wanted to drive like he drove, wanted to cook like he cooked, talk like he talked, wanted to be like my grandpa. I loved him.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the, and he was kind of a man's man, you know, he was kind of like, he would fix it guy. You know what I mean? He could fix stuff. He'd work on stuff and he would be hammering stuff. You know, he'd bust his thumbnail. Right.
Yeah.
And I admired him so much. Like he would blacken the under part of his thumbnail bruised. Like, you know, the reason I'm thinking of that is because I actually have one of those bruises right now. And it made me think about that. Remember this. And as a kid, I used to admire him so much and want to imitate him so much that I would take a black marker and I would color my thumbnail because I wanted to look like my grandpa. Like I wanted to look tough like him. And it's interesting. I loved and admired and wanted to imitate him so much that even as a kid, when he would be working on something, right. And he's fully capable of doing it.
Yeah.
All right. And he's the one who's getting it done. Right.
Yeah.
What would he do? He would slow completely down.
Yeah.
Right. And involve me in what he's doing, even though I'm completely incapable of getting the job done, right? Like, he who is fully capable, had to love me enough to get me involved in it and essentially pretend with me that I'm being effective in getting the work done.
Yeah, this is every day as a teacher.
Well, so, and he would take twice as long to do what he did, but... he wanted because he loved me to incorporate me into it. Well, this is to me a picture of good works. We're incapable of doing it, right?
Right.
We're the child of God, right? He sees us as his children because he sees us through the lens of Christ, right?
Yeah.
He sees us as fully righteous. He sees us as Christ, right? Because of what Christ has done for us. So he loves us, uncontrollably. He's sort of a crazy, out of control, loving God towards us. And he's willing to, and he could snap. I mean, he could do anything he wanted at any time. He could come back and make all things new, but he wants to incorporate us into that reality. And we get to be incorporated into it, even though we're completely incapable of doing it. So the reality is, he dwells inside of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who causes good works to happen, and he uses our hands.
Credits us.
That's the fullness of it. The fullness of it is he causes the works to be done.
Yeah, despite
right?
us.
Yeah, despite us, and even though we're not capable of doing it, involves us in them like the child, right?
Yeah.
And he's getting them done, and he's doing them, and then he says to us, "Well
Attaboy.
Done,
well done,
well done. That this work that you've done is yours."
Yeah.
So technically, he's the one who causes anything good to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And when it happens through you, see, because even if you the best good work you'll ever do is one you don't even know about.
Yeah.
Because the moment you think that you've done something, you screw it up by making yourself self-righteous by doing it. So the reality of his indwelling spirit doesn't mean you don't need to hear instruction. You do. It's just that you need to hear the command. Right. You need to hear the law, but you're incapable of doing what it is that the law is describing,
right?
Because you're like the child, not equipped to do it. So the reality of us saying to ourselves or to other Christians, you need to be better, you need to pull your weight, you need to do more, is just like saying to the child, you idiot, you're not pulling your weight.
Well, you don't know how to fix this car.
You're not capable of it, right? I mean, this is a child of God, and God is slowing down to incorporate you into his stuff. So the idea of, beating each other up or beating ourselves up, that we're not doing enough,
right,
is a lie,
and
it's dangerous, and it's bad theology, and it's a trap. And the sort of the knowledge of what God really does in his good works that he does through his people is super freeing.
Oh, yeah.
The idea that not only did I not have to do the good work, but when the good work is being done, it is really from the Father, who is working this stuff through me, despite me.
Yeah.
That reality alone, to me, helps me really sleep well at night, not worried about, am I doing enough? Is it okay? It's not that I don't want to do more.
No.
It's that, Lord, you're the one that causes all this stuff to happen. So if and when you will it, that's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, right?
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Where? In earth and on heaven, your kingdom come, your reign come. Where? Earth and on heaven.
Yep.
Your will be done,
earth and
on
heaven.
Heaven. Right. So you're the one who has to cause all of this goodness to happen. And therefore, the more we realize that any good stuff that's getting done is actually God, the more we can give credit where credit is due. And that's the beautiful relationship. That's the same. It's sort of a weird sort of our fallen version of, but redeemed version of the Trinity, where the Son is always pointing to the power of the Spirit and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit's always pointing to the Son and the Father, and the Father's always, pointing to the Spirit and the Son.
Yeah.
We're incorporated into this communion with God where we can constantly, hopefully, by the power of the Spirit, say, I don't deserve any credit for anything good that's ever done by me or through me, because any good that comes out of me is all God. And then God, because he sees me as Christ, is saying, that's your work. I credit it to you.
Yeah.
Right. So he's giving us, he's sharing in his glory with us, yeah, despite us.
Yeah.
So that beautiful reality of the good work to me is, it's a gospel reality, right?
Yeah.
It's a good news reality. It's not a law of works reality. It's a kingdom reality of something that he's doing and delivering to us and through us.
Right.
Yeah.
We're free.
We are. We're free.
To do good works.
You just summed it up better than I did with all those words. Yeah. We're free in these works because these works are not from us.
Exactly.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be talking, I think, about this issue specifically at the high school retreat we have coming up. And I came across a video the other day. The Olympics has been going on, so old Olympic videos are kind of popping up online. Have you heard of Eric the Eel?
I have not.
Okay, you probably heard of Eddie the Eagle, maybe. Eric, yeah, the Eel was a swimmer from Equatorial New Guinea.
Okay.
Okay. Showed up at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, and he was part of a program where the Olympic Committee would give out wild cards to different countries to encourage them to participate in sports they don't normally participate in. So Eddie showed up at his country's Olympic office because they put a call out for swimmers. And he's the only guy who showed up.
Oh.
So he shows up at the Olympics, and he's never seen an Olympic swimming pool before. He's only swum in, like, hotel pools, and that's it.
Right.
So he gets up on the starting block, and there's a couple other guys on there that are, like, the last heat for qualifying. And the two other guys false start. And then they false start again. So
are they disqualified?
They're disqualified. And Eric has basically, the race has already been won for him. All he's got to do is get in and swim.
Swim it.
He can barely swim. He barely makes it. His time is like a minute and 58 seconds.
Yeah.
And the world record time is like 48 seconds. But he beats his own country's record, which he had the day before practicing. So, you know, it was just this visualization to me of the race is already won. You're free to swim and just be horrible at it. But things are going to happen.
Yeah,
anyways.
Right. Yeah.
You're treading
water.
You're
already going to get the medal.
But you're still in the Olympics.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, you've already qualified. Right. Yeah.
So that was kind of my illustration that I was thinking I might use. But
I think that's
such a
great
funny video.
Yeah.
You got to watch
it. That's great.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Wonderful. Well, man, guys, we're going to move right into some of the geekiest of geeky stuff.
Yeah.
In the little segment that we call This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Get geeky. Really geeky. We've got a few different things.
It's too late,
about today.
But okay.
It's too late. Yeah. So it's This Week in Geek time, and I've got a little bit of an update. I mentioned a video game a couple weeks ago called No Man's Sky, and it is a huge controversy now. A huge video game.
Which I looked up after that episode.
Didn't
I went.
It look
I looked
cool?
It looks super cool.
It
so
looks
what's,
so cool.
What's the? Why is there such a controversy?
Okay, so it looks cool because.
Well, first of all, recap what the game
recap
is.
Yeah. So it's a procedurally generated universe, which means that's a fancy term for there's algorithms and code that creates randomness in things. Okay, which then allowed them to create a universe that is so big that thousands and thousands of players can play at the same time.
And there's like multiple galaxies, multiple planets.
Oh, yeah.
That
it's
you
huge.
Can you can try you as a player can get in some sort of spaceship.
Yep.
of your that you purchased in the game.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yep.
And fly through and go to different planets
go
and,
to any
and interact
planet
with
flora
all kinds
and fauna
of like dinosaurs and
yeah,
and all kinds of monsters.
Yeah.
And beings. I mean, it's not a Star Wars universe, but
that's the idea
in a video game.
Yeah.
of the ability to warp speed to other galaxies and
right
go flying around and
like
explore.
The perfect geeky game.
Oh, it sounds incredible,
and
it looks incredible
it
when
looks
you look
incredible
at it. Yeah.
And I
so the controversy
I downloaded
is
it the other day.
Oh, okay.
And
so
I played.
All right.
I'm bored. I'm really bored.
Are you really?
So bored. Because
There's nothing happening.
And that was
there's
the,
not
the,
enough people yet.
There's well, no. The game was never supposed to be run into other people. Like, it was going to be rare that that would happen. And the creator said if you did, you would see that other person. And the first day, two people actually did end up on the same planet but couldn't see each other. So that promise the creator made was actually non-existent. There were lots of promises about there would be aliens that you could interact with and join their faction, and then, you know, you'd have allies and enemies, and you run across them across the universe. There are aliens. They sit in rooms and do nothing.
Oh,
they don't
no.
move. They don't walk around.
They're just randomly generated.
Randomly generated.
Not even quest givers.
So essentially, you trade with them.
They promised a galaxy and gave a desert.
Exactly. Now, it is fun just flying around and seeing all the different planets and the styles of them, etc. But at the same time, you
at a certain point, you don't want to be alone in the universe.
No, you don't.
There's some theology there in there.
Is.
I mean, like, a man was not created to be alone,
no.
you know?
It gets lonely. It's a no man's land, but no man's sky, which that was, yeah. I guess, the idea. But it's just so repetitive.
Well, let me ask you this, because the idea of it sounds great.
Yeah. And someone's going to do it eventually,
even
right?
though you just said, I'm so bored and I don't want to, like, I'm still want to play it.
Yeah, it's a great play for 2 hours.
But here's the question. What does it cost?
That is the big controversy. So in video game world, they're called AAA games, like your Call of Duties, your Oblivion, Skyrim, that kind of thing. And those normally cost $60 to $70, right? This costs $60 to $70. It is to me too.
Yeah.
I debated on getting it, but I just had to because I've been looking forward to it for like 3 or 4 years. It should have cost $20. It's an independent game. It's at best just a little survival fun game where you explore a universe.
Oh.
There's not a full game there.
So what'll happen is unless they start to change things and update it and make more danger and sort of
purpose.
Right. Well, so to me, the cool idea would be, and I'm not a programmer or an inventor of video games, would be this exact idea, except there's an element of the game like an empire.
Yeah.
People that if you get too close, like, you know, it's the same concept of The Walking Dead. It's the zombie element.
Yeah.
There's a mechanism in
some
the world that is
a
constant danger that you have to, you know, that factors into everything, right? And this is what the game needs. The game doesn't sound like it without the risk and the danger of you dying, your character dying and you losing all the stuff and having to start over or whatever.
Right.
There's really no
impetus to explore.
Well, there's no story. With no story,
there are games like Minecraft where it is a procedurally generated world where there is no story, but it's such a robust universe that stories happen. You create them with other people or et cetera.
Right.
And those are called sandbox games. You build your sandcastles, if you will, and create your own stories. This has no opportunity to create a story.
Yeah.
And that's one of the greatest things about games is, you know, living a story.
Yeah. So the whole selling point of the game is the vastness of it, which is also the actual downfall.
It's the downfall. Yeah, completely. Because it's so vast that in the end, everything seems the same.
That is ultimately disappointing, but informative for the geeks out there.
Yeah, here's the deal. I made the mistake of playing more than 2 hours because if you get it on Steam and you play less than 2 hours, you can return it.
Oh.
And there has been a huge number of people returning the game. I mean, it was a huge disappointment. Like, people just in droves returned. I tried to give it.
You kept pushing it.
It's going to get better. Yeah. And then now I'm stuck with it.
I said this on God Geeks. I endorsed this before it came out.
Well, here's the funny thing. To convince my wife that I could buy it, I said on God Geeks, I have to test it out or I can't.
We're
going to
lose the show, James. We're going to lose the show.
Well, that was my one game for like this season, and it was a bust.
Yeah.
So I'm going to listen to reviews.
Well, you
next
got
time
it now.
Before.
You might as well play it.
I am. It's still kind of fun to fly around.
Yeah.
A bit.
Well, I guess any hope for the game getting ultra populated is not.
Yeah.
And changing the universe is not.
I don't think they're willing to do that. They might add maybe some more aliens or something. And it's interesting to see what they'll do. Part of the problem was it was an indie game with only 20 developers on it, whereas those AAA games, they got like hundreds.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could only do. I feel bad for them a little bit, but they made promises that didn't happen.
Right.
Stuck by them when maybe they should have.
And they got your money. I wouldn't feel too bad for it.
Yeah. So that was that game.
Well, you know, that's That's pretty geeky.
It's really geeky.
You know, and I don't know that we have a ton of other sort of This Week in Geek stuff that's current event stuff, but
we've got a little bit of TV to talk about.
You and I are in kind of different modes with...
We are. We need to get resynced with TV.
Yeah, well, so we're going to have to here because Westworld's starting soon, of course, and then the real Walking Dead.
I'll be back on Fear of the Walking Dead. I got to catch up on
Fear. Fear of the Walking Dead has started, and, you know, it's... Hope it doesn't turn into No Man's Sky. You know, I mean, it's okay. There's some stuff happening, I guess, but it's really just... It's not near what Walking Dead is. And Walking Dead...
It's that True Detective Season 2 problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of Walking Dead, there is just a little bit of, fan theory out there with Walking Dead as far as not who actually got killed by Negan, right? Not who got killed, but who didn't get killed.
Okay, now I haven't heard this, so...
Yeah, well, so... The theory is based on the new clip that they showed on it was either The Talking Dead or something. They released a new and it has the I wish I could remember the character's name, but he's got the burned face, the one that took Daryl's stuff the first time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and then he shot what's her name, you know, and killed what's her name, and he's part of Negan's group, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so him and Daryl, they've got
there's a
beef there. But the clip that they just released of this next season shows him, that guy, the bad guy with the burned face, on Daryl's motorcycle, right?
Uh-huh.
Riding, pushing Daryl's motorcycle past some zombies, and he's wearing Daryl's vest, right? With the wings on the back.
Okay.
So the theory is that they would never, it can't be Daryl. Right, that got killed because they would never reveal.
They wouldn't reveal that.
They wouldn't reveal it in a clip like that ahead of time, which I think is good. The other thing that I would say is the reason it can't be Daryl is because he's wearing that vest when Negan starts smashing whoever's at his skull.
There'd be blood all over
the back of it, and you'd see it on the guy on what's his name's back.
Yeah.
So when I saw. I wasn't even thinking about they wouldn't telegraph who got killed, but I was thinking, well, there's no blood on his vest.
Right.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, that ain't Daryl.
Blood doesn't come out of leather.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But they don't, that's not part of sort of the internet, you know, craze about, oh, it can't be Daryl.
Yeah.
But so I think we all knew it wasn't going to be Daryl anyway.
Yeah,
he's so popular, I don't think
they'd shoot themselves in the foot like that.
Well, they need to.
Because that puts you on edge. We've talked about this.
They need to kill somebody.
Important.
I mean, well, they killed somebody, but I have a feeling it's going to be someone like, I would consider a second tier character, Abraham.
Yeah.
Or, you know, who I like. I like all the characters.
Yeah.
But I feel like
they haven't been there since the beginning.
Yeah. They're not going to kill a Rick or a Carl or a Daryl or a Michonne. And they need to. I hate to say it. I mean, the one thing that they could, I think they're at the point right now where they need to do something big. And I feel like if they don't
they
with this
to pull
Negan
a George
guy,
R. R. Martin kind
well,
of,
Negan, yeah. Negan's supposedly the baddest of the bad. Like he is the super villain.
Yeah.
So they've already pulled out all the stops where this is the guy that everybody from the comic book says, like, he's the one that's like the
ruins
ultimate
everything.
super villain. So I think if they're smart, they'll start killing some people off that are big names, you know, and develop some other characters to keep the show interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my opinion.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
And that's pretty geeky.
That's geeky.
And that's This Week in Geek.
All right.
And that's the episode. That's the podcast for this week on another Faithful Friday of the God Geeks. And we thank you for joining us. And we love you. And we'll see you next week.
Geeks.